During the rowdy pipeline construction days, bars lined 4th Avenue in downtown Anchorage. Many of those establishments were surprisingly open to gay and lesbian Alaskans. On a bus tour this summer, Alaska Public Media's Ann Hillman learned about the role those establishments played in local LGBTQ history.
Myrna LaCroix stands at the front of a bus with a bullhorn, pointing out the locations of old Anchorage bars.
It was so sleazy. It was so much fun.
The passengers giggle at body jokes and memories from 30 and 40 years ago, when bar culture was huge in Anchorage. They're on a tour of historical gay hotspots. Myrna points to the original Rendezvous Club in downtown.
We had a lot of fun in that little place. It would hold 40 and we had 80 in it.
That was on the bottom half.
Yeah, right.
Another tour leader, Russ Reno, jumps into the conversation. The tour focuses on the high points of gay life in the 1970s and 80s, the fun places to drink and do drugs. But Reno points out that there was a reason for the culture of escapism in the 1980s, the AIDS epidemic.
How many people have at least 5 people on this bus that they know and consider friends? Okay, now I want you to imagine for a second, without being too depressing here, think about what you'd feel like after just maybe 2 years or 3 years and losing just about every single one of those friends and maybe having yourself and one other left. And that was what the 80s were all about.
Reno says he gathered with others in bars because they were safe spaces and they could party away their sadness. He says that before AIDS, it was easier to be gay in Alaska. People didn't care as much about your sexual identity. They had the Gay Olympics and gay social organizations like the Mount McKinley Non-Ascent Club.
We never went up, but we'd been known to, well, you know the rest of that. So it was a gentleman's club.
He says the small LGBT community even had political clout because just a few votes could change anything.
And we could organize relatively quickly. So we'd get people out there to vote and we could learn that we could push the election in the direction we wanted it to go. So we became very political back in the day.
But Reno says, after the AIDS epidemic started, the general community and religious leaders became more homophobic. Madeline Holdorf was at an annual celebration for the LGBT community and drag performers in 1982 when someone threw tear gas into the room.
Well, when that tear gas bomb went off, everyone thought it was part of an entrance or part of the show. And in fact, it was tear gas that went off in the ballroom. I was on the dais, which is, you know, the main stage, and everyone in the room moved at the same time.
Despite the tear gas incident, Holdorf says for years, hundreds of people would turn out for the event. She says part of the reason was that unlike in other parts of the U.S., gay men and lesbians hung out together. They didn't have things like separate bars. But now that the greater community is more accepting of LGBT people, the crowds at those events are much smaller. Holdorf says, you don't have to be into bars or drag shows to find other gay people anymore. One of the bus tour organizers, Nicole Cundiff with Alaskans Together for Equality, says that doesn't mean that the LGBT community has achieved equal rights.
We have national marriage equality, and we have some non-discrimination ordinances in the state, but statewide, we still don't have LGBT protections, especially when it comes to our transgender population.
Cundiff says that's part of the reason why they organized the tour, so people would remember the city's history and stay motivated to keep pushing for equal protections. From the Urban Affairs Desk, I'm Ann Hillman.